There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Going once, going twice. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Sapia. That, of course, is Mike Tagliere, the hat. No logo today, still in contract negotiations for that space, that rental space. But the space living rent-free in everybody's head, everyone's favorite, Dan Harris, stepping in today to hang out with us. And we've got a phenomenal show for you today. And listen, even if you don't play in salary cap leagues, this is going to be a phenomenal discussion today, not only about strategy when it comes to players, strategy when it comes to drafts, but also player ranges and player values. So what we're going to do today is give you 10 salary cap day tips for your draft. And you know what? Maybe we'll do a little bit of a bonus tipper here or there. We got all that. Then we're going to get into some player discussions too, some price ranges, maybe play a little player powerball, some guys that we like in the same range as other players in terms of their pricing. And if you're wondering, well, is this auction? Yes, it is. But evolution happens, and we're talking now and calling them salary cap leagues, which is fine because that's what they are. There's a salary cap where you got to get everything in under that salary cap and your draft. And guys, this is my favorite format because for me, everybody starts out equal. Everybody has the exact same opportunity to get all the players they want. It's just whether or not you want to pay the premium for those guys. And tags, to me, this is like absolutely the best way to really prove who the best person in your league is in terms of who is running teams, because this is about knowledge. This is about player pool depth knowledge. This is also about how you roster construct. So for me, salary cap leagues are the ultimate. How do you feel about them?
It has to do with everything. I mean, everything in auctions. Not only do you have to be prepared in understanding players' rankings, tiers, and things like that, but it also, it forces you to adjust on the fly. And that's something that not many people can do. It forces you to have patience in a draft. Mm-hmm. It forces you to not go on tilt. There's so many different things that happen in a redraft where you're able to gather yourself. You know, you have another 12 picks between you or whatever. But in auctions, if you miss out on a player that you really wanted and you're like, oh, I should spend, you could easily lose your draft because you're just, you go on tilt. It's a poker term, but it's one of those things that in auctions, and I agree with you, Joe, this is one of those things that a lot of people, I don't think that auctions will ever become the mainstream. Do I think that they should? Yeah, I do. The first auction I ever took part in, if you've never played an auction, I urge you to go and check one out. If you have a friend that plays in one, just go watch live. It's one of the funnest things. I went to be the auctioneer and I ended up getting pulled into the draft because someone didn't show up. So I had to be the auctioneer and I had to draft, even though I had no prep for this draft, but it was amazing. It was so much fun. You're able to get any player you want. It literally is the best way to figure out who actually is the best football fantasy football player in your, you know, in your friend group. So yeah, I love auction leagues.
And being the auctioneer is a fun job to have. I've done it a few times in some of the expert leagues myself, and that's tough to be the auctioneer and in the draft as well. That's a lot of hats to wear. You're already wearing one all the time, so that's like three hats you're wearing. Dan, I always feel like, too, to a certain extent, we become kind of trapped in ADP. You know, we have certain snake draft, you know, slots that you're in. You're kind of tied into some players in a general range, whereas you throw all that out the window when it comes to a salary cap draft. To me, that's what's so intriguing is all of a sudden everything's opened up. You're in a top three picks. You kind of know the guys you're looking at. You're in the bottom three picks in the first couple of rounds. You kind of know the guys you're looking at. Not here, not from the jump and not as the draft goes on. So for you, I know you do the auction primer here or the salary cap primer here at Fantasy Pros. How do you feel about the salary cap leagues? And is this the perfect way for, you know, leagues that are getting a little tired and stale to kind of shake things up and change it up a little bit and maybe take it to the next level?
I don't know anybody who switches from a regular draft to a salary cap draft and doesn't like it and says, man, you know what? That was a bad move. Bad move. You've gone back because salary cap drafts are better. And I love a regular draft and I do 1,000 mock drafts and I have plenty of draft leagues. But yeah, as you said, when you get your draft pick, if you're in a 12-team league and you're the ninth pick, I don't want to spoil it for you. You are not getting Christian McCaffrey. You're not getting Dalvin Cook. You're just not, it's just not happening. You go into a salary cap draft, the world is your oyster, man. Do whatever you want. You want to get Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook and Patrick Mahomes and then $1 for the rest of your players? Great. You can do whatever you want. We talk a lot about playing jazz, or at least I do when I'm like in a draft. Don't go in with a set strategy. In a salary cap draft, you have to play jazz the entire time because it's all going to be different. So it is just better. More strategy, more skill. It's just, it's the best. Everybody should do it. At least one league, a salary cap draft for sure.
Yeah. Again, we're all big fans here. And if you're not playing in them, maybe after this episode, you will be a fan. But before we kick things off, we'll talk about maybe the player is going to be the highest price, and it's Christian McCaffrey. You know why we're going to talk about him? Because we're giving away a jersey autographed by Christian McCaffrey. That's right. All you got to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's Fantasy Pros. And we're going to be having a live stream mock. So you want to make sure you subscribe and click that notifications button. All the great content for the draft prep season is here. It's upon us. All the podcasts are on YouTube as well. You can watch our beautiful faces talk about football. We've also got a lot of short form videos too to get you prepped for your season. So if you subscribe there, you get a 3x entry into the contest. All you got to do is go to fantasypros.com/contest. You leave a review of the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox. You screenshot that bad boy. Again, go subscribe to the YouTube page. You get your 3x entry and fill out the form at fantasypros.com/contest, and then CMC jersey can be yours just for hanging out and watching and listening and doing all the things you do already. And then you are entered to win subsequently every other contest after that. So it costs you nothing to do except a little bit of time, and it means a lot to us, and we want to give you something for free for doing that. Also, when you talk about fun, it's all about Discord. fantasypros.com/chat. We've got the stages there. Yates and I just did one last week where we talked to everybody, answered questions, keeper questions, draft questions, in-season questions. But you have to go to fantasypros.com/chat to join us there. We're going to have tons of AMAs, tons of the stages, which is basically the AMA kind of program there where it's almost like a radio show where we interact with everybody. Tags is on there. Dan's on there. Everybody's on there. It is a great place. It's a community, and there's some great fantasy players in that community too in these chats that you can ask questions to also and kind of bounce ideas, whether it be trades, whether it be free agent, waiver wires, anything. This is going to be the place to be off season, in season, and then after the season. So go to Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. So let's kick things off here. Again, we've got a list of 10. This is going to be a good time for everybody. So get your pens and papers or your tablets or whatever the hell you're doing nowadays to write things down. Get them out and get ready. Let's start with number 10 in salary cap day tips. Suggested player prices are a guideline, not a strategy. Tags, this is something I always try to tell people when they say, well, do you have salary cap information available? I'm like, yeah, well, it's not just prices, it's approach. And I think sometimes people kind of dismiss that. Dan had mentioned, Tags, about, you know, you can go stars and scrubs. You can go all mid-level, just kind of get the best ROI players on the board. So I just want everybody to understand that those are just a range or a suggestion because you know and I know. Once you get in that room, you can crumple that piece of paper a little bit and sometimes throw it out the window because rarely do all the players fall in that exact same range.
Yeah, basically, I look at auction values or salary cap values on our cheat sheet that you can create in the Draft Wizard. I use them, and it's nice because our actually wizard, what it does is actually it factors in your league size, how many positions you start, how many bench spots you have. All those things go into it. The money that you're going to have available to you in the draft, all those things change the values of every single player. So make sure you use that. However, you should not be static to that. It's almost like I treat projections, right? I know Dan does projections. I do projections. Yates does projections. And we all sit down, and that does not determine who is ranked where. What it does is it keeps us in check. It forces us to kind of take a step back and say, okay, am I too high on this player? Because for him to outperform this projection that I have for him, he's going to have to score like 5 more touchdowns, which is not realistic. So it forces you to lower that player back down your board. That's basically how I look at salary cap values. You have a thing where it's like, okay, you could like him more than the auction value says he's supposed to go for. Be willing to move, you know. Me, typically, I'm willing to move up to $5 up or like up if I really, really want a player. But if you start going above that, you're going to start sacrificing the rest of your team in order to get that player. So it's almost like forcing yourself to stay in check and saying, this is what the calculator says. I'm high on this guy, but I should not be too high because otherwise I'm just wasting all the value I'm getting while picking him.
And Dan, value is so crucial in these salary cap leagues. You know, when price thresholds start crossing over maybe a $5 inflation rate, right? That's something you do have to really understand and account for. And when you are looking at these prices and even setting some of these prices here in the Draft Wizard as you do, do you think that that's something too where it's a good starting point, but by no means is it a strategy? It just kind of gives you an idea of what the picture of at least a range of these prices, and we will get to those players later on in some of these ranges, but is that kind of the feel that you get as well? It's just a starting point more than anything.
For sure. I'm not beholden to the salary cap draft values that come out from our Draft Wizard, which, by the way, is what I use, our salary cap calculator. Joe mentioned that I write a primer about salary cap drafts. I do it for baseball. I do it for football. It is within our draft kit this year, fantasypros.com/draft kit. It's a lot of details. If you want to create your own values like I used to do, I teach you how to do that. But also, for the most part, be smart and just use the salary cap draft calculator. That is a guideline, as you said, like the Pirate's Code. It's a guideline. It's not something that you need to be religiously tied to. And the one thing you try to keep in mind with this is that, number one, if values are going for like $10 over what it says in your values, there are going to be deals later because there's a finite amount of money. At the same time, especially in football, you can't just build a roster starting with like fourth round players. You're not going to win, okay? Even if you're like, I'm going to get such a great deal on this fourth round player. Amazing. Look at this. You need the real talent. So you have to push when necessary. You just try to push at the exact right time. So yeah, definitely a guideline, but I'm not married to it. And it's certainly not a strategy by any means.
All right, let's get to the next one on our list. Number 9 in our salary cap draft day tips. Build dummy rosters within the budget. So if your budget's $200, mock out scenarios. Use the Draft Wizard to do this, right? But also build the dummy rosters. And what I always like to say is players that have similar projections. So Dan, when we're talking about this, we're talking about, okay, these 3 or 4 running backs all kind of fit in the same price structure. These are the guys that I want. This is the price that I'm budgeting for that. And I got to be ready to then throw those out the window as inflation and draft prices will fluctuate in a salary cap draft. But to me, building several different dummy rosters is key because for me, it's what is the one with the big wide receivers look like? What's the one with the big running backs look like? What's the one look like when I do have Kelce? This is how you figure out where you want to spend your money, how you want to approach and get your plan together.
Yeah, so I know we tout our tools, but we do that. We all use them. Like, just to be clear, this is not just like, hey, this thing's great. Good. We use them. I asked Tags, our member, I think before I even started, I was like, oh, do you use the mock draft assistant? And you're like, I do not do a salary cap draft without one. I absolutely do. When you're mocking, we do mock drafts, right? You know about that. But do a mock salary cap draft. And exactly what you're saying, Joe, is see what your team looks like. Be like, okay, I'm going to try to spend X amount of money on wide receivers or go heavy on wide receivers. See what it looks like generally, because that's going to give you realistic scenarios as to what your draft is going to look like. But I will say that for the most part, this goes into it. And I don't think this is necessarily a specific tip that we're going to talk about, but set tiers within your positions so that, like you said, you can know the grouping, like you said, Joe, of guys that you might want and know where the cutoff is for you. Even when the salary cap values that are spit out are similar, there's tiers for everybody, right? You have players, you say, I know the values are similar, but I still kind of feel like it's a drop make sure you have those set so that you can build it within that and then see how it turns out. But like anything, practice makes perfect. So certainly you want to mock as much as possible and see how it looks when you try different strategies.
And Tags, whenever I'm building these mock rosters or these dummy rosters, I always like to build a bench with a little bit of extra. In other words, you want $2 or $3 kind of remaining because you always want what's called the hammer. For those people who don't know what I'm talking about, when you know people, when you get towards those dollar days and you know, people don't have a lot of money left and they throw a player out at a dollar and you can go two right away and nobody else can match you, all of a sudden you might get a talented player there. So having that hammer is very important. Do you kind of structure bench money in there? And obviously you can pull from it during the draft if you need to go to that $4 or $5 premium on the player you really want. Is that something that you account for when you're building these dummy rosters?
Well, no, I mean, when you factor it, like the last thing you want to do in a salary cap league is have money left over. I've seen people end salary cap.
Don't blow the list for everybody. Jeez, Tags.
Well, right. But what I'm saying is that you're talking about saving a couple dollars for the hammer or whatever, but typically those are late round dart throws anyway. They're not players that are can't miss players. So me personally, I'd rather bid a couple dollars higher on the studs that I want to get in order rather than saving, you know, for that hammer that you discussed, because at some point everyone's going to be down to a dollar per player. And as Dan said, I'm not kidding. You can ask anybody. I go to like expert leagues, like we're in person and I have my laptop up and I have it pulled up where our draft wizard actually adjusts for inflation too. So if players start going for inflated values, it's going to increase the value for you and tell you basically this is what you should, the recommended bid. Again, that's a recommended bid. That doesn't mean you have to live and die by that. It just means it's a gauge for you to work off. And again, it's just so nice to be able to walk into an auction and do that, because it does vary depending on the starting positions you have, how deep it is, how deep the league is, how many players are going to be drafted, all those things. So the dummy rosters are nice because it puts you in different scenarios and it lets you build a team. It allows you to just look at it and say, do I like the way that this team was put together? Do I like going with the stars and scrubs approach? Or would I prefer having, you know, a balanced roster? But as Dan said, you can't just have a roster full of like fourth and fifth round picks, because it's just, you need studs to win fantasy championships.
And look, the dummy roster is how you figure out which scenarios you can live with, you know, and to see how the auction goes. Maybe you do like the one where you have Kelsey, but you like the one more that you have the big time running backs and maybe they get away from you. Well, then you pivot to the Kelsey strategy or the big time wide receiver strategy. There's ways to do it. And I think doing it ahead of time and getting a picture of what those rosters look like gives you so much of a leg up on the competition, because you're prepared to ebb and flow, because as Tags is saying, it is going to be an ebb and flow. Let's take a break here and talk about one of the sponsors of today's show. And if you've been looking for a new challenge this year, there's a new fantasy platform called Dynasty Owner that unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding to the strategy of running an NFL franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard football fans and the fanatics who want the GM experience. So if you go to DynastyOwner.com right now, new leagues are forming. That's DynastyOwner.com. Look, we've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky. But if you're like me and you think you're better than most, well, Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their roster using real NFL salaries within the real salary cap. It adds an entirely new level of strategy, so go to DynastyOwner.com today and validate your football skills. Let's get to number 8 here on our list of salary cap auction tips, and let's talk about number 8, nominating high-profile players early to take money out of the pool that you don't like. This is something that I've done early on and I've had a lot of success with. Now, some people will tell you different stories about this. You shouldn't do this. Go nominate your guys early. To me, Tags, every time a good player or a high range player that I'm not too fond of goes, that's money out of the pool, less competition where I have to go against that owner in that draft later on for another player that I like. So I like this strategy early on. I have implemented it many times with a lot of success. How do you feel, at least early on, throwing out players? I guess for you would be Jonathan Taylor, would be the first person off Tag's mouth when we start to get in the salary cap league.
Well, yes and no. There's a reason that there's some people that combat you on this, because it depends on the draft. And this comes back to the start of the show where we talked about how everything is different. Every auction league or salary cap league that you take part in is going to be different. Some people are going to be willing to spend money up front. Some people are going to let you get values up front. It happened, and it's not just in public leagues either, guys. I was in an expert league last year where someone nominated Christian McCaffrey and everyone was kind of just waiting around, and he ended up getting him for cheaper than Ezekiel Elliott went, cheaper than Saquon Barkley. Barkley went. Because in the beginning, sometimes people are just a little skittish. They want to feel out the draft. They want to see where it's going. Mm. So as for that first nomination, if you have that, now, granted, that was the first overall nomination. If you have one, if you're the first one up, I would nominate a player that you definitely aren't mad about having, but you don't need to have.
Okay.
So I wouldn't automatically just say, throw this player out here, unless I knew it was someone like Jonathan Taylor who was going to net a ton of bucks. But again, some people might be skittish at the beginning and they might not be willing to just throw out high dollar amounts. And therefore, they're going to get a deal on Jonathan Taylor that might later on, you might be like, I don't like Jonathan Taylor that much, but he got a pretty good value on him. So you kind of have to feel out the draft, which is why for me, I'm going to nominate a player that, again, this is only if I have the first one, because if you're nominating the fifth or sixth player, you should have a good feel as to what players are being nominated, what people are willing to spend and all of that. And then you'll start to getting a gauge on inflation. But when it comes to this one, it's more feeling it out. And if you have the first one, you're nominating the first player or second player even. I'm nominating someone that I'm definitely not mad to get, but at the same time, if he goes for higher than I'm willing to spend, like you were saying, Joe, I'm also happy about that because, again, it's taking funds off the board.
All right, Dan, how do you approach early nominations? Are you somebody that wants to test the water a little bit with players you don't like, test it with players that you're okay having, or test it with a player you really like to see maybe you can get an early steal?
Yeah, you might hate this answer, but the answer is it depends. And I'm just being honest. I'm going to mention a lot because I wrote a really, really detailed primer that goes through my thoughts pretty much on every single thing we're going to talk about in detail. One of the things I have in that primer is nominate players that you want sometimes. And what I mean by that is, especially in the beginning, this is what I usually do when I'm heading into a salary cap draft, okay? I agree. We can't get married to players. You can't go into a draft saying, I am getting this player and this player and this player, because that's just dumb and you have no idea what the price point is going to be. But I think what you can do is look at the salary cap values that come out and say, you know what? Based on that value, I think this player, whether it's from your league history or just how you feel, I think that player is a value. I think I might be able to get that player at that number or around that number, and I think that's a value, and that's probably somebody who could end up on my team. That's a target. Not I need this player, but that's a target. If that's the case, I might craft a spending plan basically saying like, okay, if I do make this big purchase, that's probably the guy I'm going to get. I might throw that player out there with my first nomination to say, let me see if I'm going to get Zeke. Let me see if he's going to come at the discount I expect him to come. If he is, great. I can base the rest of my auction on. If not, and you go in there thinking, I think Zeke's going to be a value. I'm going to wait this out. I'm going to get money off the table. There might be one other person waiting for Zeke. By the time he comes up, that's it. And the bidding is $10 more than you expected. So in the end, if I see a value, a specific value, especially one or two in an early, like a high round player, like a first round player, I might throw that player out early just so I know what to do with the rest of my auction. If not, Joe, if I'm like, you know what, I'm probably not going to get involved in Christian McCaffrey. I'm not paying $75 for Christian McCaffrey. I know that. I will get that player out there early just to get money off the table. So in the end, it really depends. If you identify a first round value that you think might end up on your team, I might hit that right off the bat. Other than that, I'm totally fine with just nominating high valued players to get money off the table.
And because you guys are such pros, it goes right into our next number here, which is number 7. Be ready for the early lull on big name talent. Boys, I can tell you, and I'm sure you will reiterate this, there's always that little lull where, okay, let's get a couple big name running backs. And then there's a few big name running backs still on the board. And all of a sudden, one of these guys that you think is a really good player all of a sudden goes for quite a bit less than maybe they should. And then what happens is inevitably the pool starts to get thinner and then you start to pay a premium on guys who are questionable. So maybe a guy that you really like, well, I don't know, you know, McCaffrey went really high and Cook went really high, but all of a sudden Derrick Henry goes for maybe $5 less or $3 less than you anticipated. Next thing you know, Nick Chubb goes for $10 more than Henry because all of a sudden the pool is different. The early lull and being in at the right time is, to me, one of the most crucial things about building an early salary cap roster. So, Tags, you keep seeing yup a lot. I'm going to go to Dan first, though, on this one. Your thoughts on the early lull and taking advantage of it, because it seems inevitable to me, Dan, in every single one I've ever been in.
So there are two things, I think, with this. The first is a point that Tags mentioned last time, which is that first player. That first player or that second player, they're almost always going for undervalue, whoever it is. It doesn't matter if it's the number one player or it's the number 20th player. I always feel like that first guy, people are like, oh, this is the auction started. Can you believe this? Well, there's so many players left. I mean, I don't have to go. Even if it's McCaffrey, chances are it's going to be for like $3 under what the price is. But that's honestly like the first player, the second. Once it gets warmed up, then guns are blazing, right? Everybody's just going out there. And then you're absolutely correct. There is going to be a random lull. And I think I remember it was a couple of years ago. It was after Henry, I think, had the giant second half, right? Where he first really broke out in the second half. And the next year, everybody was a little questionable about him. And he went for some preposterous price. He was like the 12th player. He went for like $13 or something like that. That guy won the league, no offense. But the reason salary cap drafts, again, are so incredible is that's the point, which is you don't get to wait 10 minutes for your next pick and just chill out and be like, all right, I'll just catch up. But you have to be, you might win a player and you have to not only be like, okay, let me see where I'm at right now. You have to know who is this next player out there, because there is going to be that lull at some point. You don't know when it's coming, Joe. And that's why you have to be laser focused the entire time. But without question, you have to be locked in, because there is going to be the random sort of like, why did this guy go for $8 less than every other running back in his tier was going? So 100% agree. Be ready at all times. Laser focus, because that lull is going to come, especially at some random point that you don't think it is.
Tags, you alluded in the last time we were speaking about the lull, which again, we had ready and locked and loaded here to talk about. But the worst part of the lull is the post lull, which is then the premium on guys because the player pool is emptied. So how important is it to be in the right spot in the lull? And how important is it to be very careful when you have to start paying premiums on players? Because let's face it, RB1 starting to fly off the board. There might be none left. All of a sudden you're paying a premium on a guy who maybe isn't really an RB1 after all.
Everything we're talking about, everything that it's kind of like, well, maybe this or maybe that, and you kind of have to feel it out. This is the reason auctions dominate. This is the reason auctions are the best. This point goes right into the whole tier idea. And you have to have tiers, because basically what happens is once we see, like, everybody knows who the top six running backs are this year. So therefore, if you wait till five of them are off the board, that last one is probably going to go for more expensive than he should be. Where if you're the one that grabs the first one off the board, people are like, oh, there's five other ones I'm comfortable with, and you might get him at a discount. So yes, I'm taking advantage of that early lull, and I'm not going to wait until the end of the tier, because I promise you, if you have guys on your list, you're like, hey, I'm okay with this guy as my RB1. I promise you there's at least one other guy or two guys in that draft that are going to be like, I'm okay with that guy as well. You know, people listen to me on the podcast. They're like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I know Tags is shooting for him. I'm just going to wait till Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes up, and I'm going to be more than happy to overspend on him as my RB2 a little bit, and therefore ruining my plan. So therefore, if you get out in front of it and say, okay, if someone's out here to screw with me and take Clyde Edwards-Helaire and overbid on him, then I need to have a backup plan, because if he was the last guy in my tier, I'm screwed. So therefore, get ahead of that, understand your tiers, know what players you're okay or not okay with. And sometimes, as Dan said, you have to nominate the players you want.
Yep.
Yeah. And speaking of salary caps and auctions, Pristine Auction is the best place to get your Clyde Edwards-Helaire jersey or anything else that you want. And look, you're bidding against a lot of other people, but this is the perfect sponsor for today's show, because they've got all the stuff for your man cave, for your she shed, for your woman cave, whatever it might be. Again, so many cool things you could just kind of hang up around. And I know everyone's getting back together for drafts this year. You might want to show off, you know, some of the cool swag you might get from a place like Pristine Auction. Everything there is authentic. You get the certification that tells you so, so you feel confident in what you're purchasing. Everything there also is, like, up for grabs and affordable. Not everything, it has to be thousands of dollars, right? There's a lot of cool stuff for a couple hundred or even in the $25 range. Some pretty neat stuff on there. So what you got to do is you got to go over to pristineauction.com, and it's free to register, free to bid. You only pay when you win, so there's no pressure. And we're going to give you $5 here at Fantasy Pros just for joining. So all you have to do is go to the registration code area, put in the code Fantasy Pros, that's all one word, in that registration field, and you get a $5 credit because you're a listener of ours and we love you. So go to pristineauction.com. Again, that's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. All right, gentlemen, we are moving along through our list. Let's get to number 6, price in force when applicable. This is something Dan and I did a salary cap draft here together in the offseason, and we price enforced on a few players, and you know what? All the players we price enforced on ended up becoming really good values for the most part. And it's something that I think is very important. If you see a player that maybe you didn't have in mind, But you look at that player and you look at what's going on, and maybe it's hit a weird lull, or people are just maybe on tilt a little bit from the draft itself. There's opportunity with these guys. Now, tags, price enforcing, I know sometimes it can get you in trouble, but when a player you know has a higher value and you see that not being respected at that moment for whatever reason, are you somebody that takes advantage of that and price enforces for the good of your own roster?
This is a tough one. I've been burned on this one before, where it's a player I don't want and I'm like, he should be going for more than this. And then I'll bid him up a dollar and I'll be stuck with him. And I'm like, I didn't want this player. I don't know why I have him on my roster, but he went for cheaper than he should have. If you're going to do that, you better make sure that there's someone in that league that really wants that player. That's basically my advice when it comes to that. Because otherwise you have to be prepared to have him on your team. You know, Jarvis Landry, for example, he's someone that I don't want on my roster. You know, like, does that mean I won't take him as my wide receiver four? Sure. I guess it just depends on where I'm at in that draft. You know, do I have studs on my roster and feel like the rest of my team is going to fill out nicely? Then I can price up enforce a little bit more. But at the same time, I don't want to get stuck with guys that I don't want. Draft the team you want.
All right. Now, Dan, how do you feel about price enforcing? Because you and I have done it together in drafts, but I think we did it with premium talent more so than we do. Like, we felt like, look, we end up with this player, it's fine. What Tags is talking about, price enforcing on mid-level talent, that can get you in trouble a little bit, because it feels like then you are out of money for maybe the sleeper talent that you really want that might have a little bit of an inflation rate because everybody knows about them as a sleeper potential breakout. How do you feel about this price enforcement rule?
I think what it really comes down to is I will price enforce when I'm okay with having that player on my roster for that price. And there are a lot of times where it's, man, this is going too low, but am I going to feel okay if I pay $7 for Jarvis Landry? Not really, because I don't want him. Like, I just don't want him on the roster. Take that Henry example that I just gave, right? Everybody, because it's a sharp group of guys in that salary cap draft, everybody knew it was like, man, I'm not going to pay for Henry, given that he's coming off just this crazy second half. Like, who thinks that we're going to be able to get into that? And everybody was just kind of out on him. But would I have taken Derrick Henry, who I didn't want on my teams that year, for $14? Absolutely. Like, that's a point where you price enforce. And Joe, you and I talked about it. There were players that we didn't want in that salary cap draft that we got who wound up being great for our teams. Because
we price enforced on a fellow named Shohei Ohtani.
In baseball, right?
He's talking about it.
And that guy's dominating the league. And it was something where we didn't really want the person. But in the end, if you are okay with that price point, then do it. If not, guys, there are going to be deals when you're going to look back at that salary cap draft and be like, man, that guy got a deal with that player. That's okay. That happens. It's going to happen to your team. You don't have to basically not allow any deal to go. Just make sure that you're okay with adding that player. Also considering, P.S., roster positions and bench spots are finite, okay? So you can't just get every deal if you don't want that player, because in the end, you're going to look at it and you're going to be like, man, I've got one bench spot left, and there's like six people that I was targeting to get there, and they're gone because you price enforce on players you didn't want. So that's really what it comes down to. Make sure you are okay at that price with adding that player, given your roster. Otherwise, just let it go and be okay with it.
Number five on our list of salary cap draft day tips: get your guys. This is in big capital letters. Tag said it. Dan said it. I just yelled it a little bit, so I'm sorry. Get your guys. Get your guys. You've done all this work. Get your guys. If you have to pay a little bit of premium to get your guys, it'll even itself out later on. Make sure you have enough knowledge of the pool that you know where you can find your discounts a little later. That is crucial to getting your guys, so that's the one caveat. Dan, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I feel like it's, you know, kind of obvious, but yet sometimes I feel like it needs to be driven home. So I think we should at least highlight just a little about how important it is to get the guys that you want. That's the whole point of being in this format, is you have the opportunity to do that. You don't have to be stuck at the bottom of a snake draft watching the guys that you want go, you know, 7-8 picks before you.
Yeah, the benefit of a salary cap draft, again, is that you have the potential to add any player that you want. There is no player off the board when you start. You can get whoever you want to add on your team. Now, I don't think that you should be targeting specific players in salary cap drafts other than when you see that their values present to you a value that you think you might be able to get and build your team around. In the end, this is real simple, but I think it's a point that is worth hammering home, as all of us give out advice and all of us have been on the receiving end of people who have been unhappy in the end with the advice that we gave and did not work out. Like, fantasy football is fun, okay? When you want your guys and you target your guys, go ahead and spend the dollar or two extra that you want to get a player that you think is going to have the breakout season. Make sure you're always keeping track of who's available. But yeah, in the end, man, it boils down to this is fun. Keep track of who's available. And if you like a guy, make sure you get some shares of him, especially in a salary cap draft.
I want to do a salary cap mock right now. I'm so excited from all this discussion because it's so fun. And you know, Tags, I'm going to jump right to number four because it kind of pivots. And you've already said get your guys. And I, you know, you believe it. I believe it. Dan believes it. To get your guys, number four, do you believe in waiting for the bidding level to start to level off? Do you get to going once on a player and then jump in on the guys you want? Because why would you artificially throw money early on a player you really like? Because all you're going to do is end up inflating your own price. Are you somebody like me that, again, I wait for the players I like, and when I see the bidding start to level off, that's when I jump in and get involved? That's my number four. What are your thoughts on that strategy, if you will?
Yeah, no, that's not a bad strategy, honestly. And I've definitely done that because what happens is, you know, when you're in a when you're in an auction salary cap league and you're going back and forth bidding on a player, what happens is, like, if you're going back and forth with one guy, you're like, okay, I could do this. I can go back and forth. Let's see how fast he clicks that up the bid button or whatever the case may be. When a third person jumps in there, it's going to take those ones that are hesitant out of it. It's going to remove them from the equation. So therefore, if there's three or four people in the bidding process, that's when you almost like say, hey, I'm either in on this player or I'm not. And at that point, you need to decide what's the top dollar you're willing to go, because there is going to be a point where you're going to say, all right, I'm out. And that's where it comes down to getting your guys, but at a good value. Because again, you've identified players on your sheet that you're like, if I can get them at this value, this would be tremendous. But the last thing you want is to get to the end of your draft and say, had I spent two more dollars on to get someone like, you know, let's say that you really wanted to get Justin Jefferson. Right. Had you spent two more dollars, you would have gotten Justin Jefferson rather than someone like, you know, Mike Evans or Amari Cooper. And then later in the draft, instead of getting Michael Pittman, you just get Elijah Moore instead for cheaper. So it's like, you know, don't draft Michael Pittman. That's my advice here. but basically, that's what it comes down to. The worst feeling after, you know, one of these leagues is that you sit down and you say, man, I wish. Had I spent two more dollars, I could have gotten that player and I would have felt completely different about my roster. So those are things that you have to be willing to move. But again, if it gets to the point where your list, you have it and you've gone $5, $6 over what it says, it's almost like, I know I'm getting into dangerous territory here. And then tell yourself, be like, I'm willing to go one more. That's as high as I'm willing to go, and stick to that. Like, that's what I'm saying. Auctions, they require you to have so much discipline in like saying, I'm stopping here. I'm not willing to do this anymore.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better, man. You absolutely nailed it there. You don't want to have regret at the end of the salary cap draft of saying, what if? That's not what you want to do. So certainly some great stuff. We got three more of our tips for you. But before we do, I want to tell you about another one of our sponsors, because look, it's summertime. And I don't know about you, but I'm a warm sleeper, okay? I want a nice, cool environment to be sleeping in. And I found that with my Sheets Rock. These things are amazing. They're so cool. In fact, my kids, now my youngest daughter, she's having a birthday. She like jumped in my bed. She's like, these sheets are amazing. These are the coolest thing. I was like, get out of my bed. She's like, I want these for my birthday. I'm like, no, these are mine. I get them, my sheets. Maybe for her birthday, I'll get them for her. But she thinks they're the coolest thing ever. She's like, they're so soft. They're awesome. And I was like, we'll see. We'll see. If you're good for the next couple weeks, maybe daddy will buy you the cool My Sheets Rock. But My Sheets Rock create a regulatory process here for your sheets and your sleeping, which is fantastic. So basically, they're designed to keep hot sleepers cool and cold sleepers comfortable. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, it absolutely works. They regulate the body temperature, the wick moisture, and I know Tag knows all about the wick moisture. They stay breathable and so soft, and you'll sleep comfortable every single night. And that's because these sheets are made from the best in-class bamboo rayon, the holy grail of sheeting. The miracle material transferred body heat 2 times more effectively than regular sheets and reduces humidity by 50%, which is really good for Dan Harris, especially because the glasses fog up right away for him. So what you want to do right now is go to mysheetsrock.com/pros and enter that code PROS for 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's mysheetsrock.com/pros. Use that code PROS, get 10% off, free shipping. If you don't like it, you could send it back after 90 days, but I'm telling you, you're going to love it. I'm telling you right now, and I know Yates has said this too, You take the sheets off, you wash them, and you end up putting them right back on to the other sheets. That's how good they are. So go to mysheetsrock.com. We got three more left to go here.
Joe, before we get to that one, can I make one comment on the last one you made? Because it actually is something that I feel...
Are we talking about sheets now, or are we talking about drafting?
I do love the sheets. That is not a lie. And my wife in particular loved it, especially right? in the summer when it's like 90 degrees. And they keep you cool. It's bizarro. I love it. Everybody go get them. Regardless, wait for the bidding to level off. What I want to say about that is one of the other things that makes salary cap drafts so great is that there is a psychological component to the entire thing that is not present in a regular snake draft. And to that point, it's like when you bid in the countdown messes with people. I think 100%. The big thing is, right, do you wait until the guy going once? There is nothing worse than thinking you have a player going once, going twice, and then somebody comes in with a $1 bid. It will put you on.
This is why we're friends, Dan, because you and I are the kings of going twice. Going twice, you hear the going twice, I think now I'll get in and I'll start bidding.
And it's a poker game. It messes with people. But you have to be a little careful because, and as somebody participating one, you have to be careful yourself. Don't get caught up in that because you will find yourself bidding against another manager in your league as opposed to the player that's actually, you'll be like, you think you're going to steal that guy from me right before I was going to get him $1 more. And before you're like, I'm $18 past what I have because Tag stole, this guy from me. So just be careful with that. And I will say one other thing. Sometimes, oddly enough, this doesn't make sense, but you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. There are times where somebody is bidding aggressively. We're talking about waiting, playing it coy, whatever. Sometimes when someone is aggressive, you would think someone's aggressively bidding on this person. He really wants him. I can probably price and force. Sometimes for me, I'm like, oh God, this person really wants him. I'm never going to get him. I'm backing off. This guy wants him. And then he gets him at a discount. So there's a strategy to how you bid. So take that into account. It's one of the best things about salary cap drafts. End of speech. Sorry.
No, it is a good speech. It's one that needs to be heard. And I think it's always business, not personal. Don't get into a personal, match with somebody else or whatever it is. No. Always remember what the real value of that player is, how much you want them. Don't make it personal.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go a little Godfather on everybody.
I like it.
All right. All right. We got three more here. Number three, we've already mentioned here, but just going to reiterate again. Don't leave money on the table. Just don't do it because you're going to have the Michael Pittman regret. I think this is what we're going to call it. The Michael Pittman regret. The Tags is now coined another phrase here. So let's jump to number two, because I don't think is there anything else to be said there on number three?
No, I mean, the only thing I would say from the start is that if you want to nominate a defense for $1, and if someone spends more than $1, good for them. They can use it. That's going to eliminate one of those dollars towards the end of the draft. But seriously, it's one of those things that sharp drafters do. They'll do that. And then you might get Washington defense for $1. Because no one's like, oh, I'm not going to spend my money now. If you nominate them early, no one's going to want to do it. If you play with kickers, nominate one of your favorite kickers, Justin Tucker, whatever. Do it for $1. And if someone spends more than that, you know they've spent too much money. And it all goes back to, you're like, oh, how do I make sure I don't spend? How do I make sure I don't have any money left over? Again, using the Draft Wizard, if you have that set up, it'll actually tell you what every single drafter, their max bid is. And it'll update as the picks go, which is invaluable. Like, you have to understand where you're at in the pecking order in terms of what you can do max bid, and it's another way to make sure that you spend all your money.
Dan, anything to add there?
Yeah, the only other not on that. That's a great point. I love it. Absolutely. The only other thing I would say is that, again, we say don't leave money on the table. 100% correct for redraft formats. If you are in a keeper league, if you're in a dynasty league, and the price that you pay matters as to what you're going to pay in the future, to the extent you have money left over, it's okay. It's not a big deal. Don't have to do it there. In a redraft format, though, absolutely, 100% never leave money on the table.
Great point there. The difference with the dynasty leagues, if you have escalators in your league format, that's something you can account for. And you have to also understand, do you want a team that's going to win right now, or you want to build a team that's going to be really good for 2 or 3 years after that first year? It's something you have to, just personally identify yourself how you want to run that. Two more left on the list here. Number two, in terms of the tips for salary cap drafts, identify cheap talent with return on investment upside. This is what we're talking about, the league winners, because more so even than in snake drafts, identifying talent that can outperform, not their ADP, but their price point is huge. Dan mentioned that story about Derrick Henry. Dan, I know you could probably tell lots of these stories. You and I both could. The ones we missed on, the ones we wish we had, and the ones we actually did had over the years. But, to me, this is crucial in that success, too. Making sure you identify the guys with upside, that you see their price, you see the price range, and you know they can be better than that.
I talk about it in baseball salary cap drafts a little bit more, but ideally, guys, like the real thing you want to do is everybody is going to spend their, let's say, $200 budget. That's what most salary cap drafts are. That's right. In my experience. Everybody should spend, ideally, their $200 budget. What you want to do is leave that salary cap draft with more value than anybody else has. Everybody's spent the same amount of money. In the end, you want to have more value. The whole point is to get a higher ROI than everybody else has based on the money that you spent. So absolutely, higher upside guys who you know are going to, because if everybody just spent the same thing and everybody earned, you know, the same thing in terms of salary cap dollars, everybody would tie. It wouldn't be anything. You've got to make sure you're going for more upside, especially in salary cap drafts, especially on your bench. So 100% with you there. One of my favorite tips.
Tags, what complicates number two sometimes is that other people identify the same players. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, those guys who go from good ROIs become a little expensive or more expensive or inflated, if you will. So how do you feel about the ROI upside
those,
guys, return on
those investment are the guys you wait until the end of the draft. You don't try and get cute and nominate them early, because that's when people have money. That's when they're able to spend up on those guys. Because, you know, like a popular late round sleeper this year, like, you know, if someone was like, oh, hey, we all know that LaVisca Chenault, for example, he's someone that a lot of people are on. You know, are we one of them? That's up for discussion. But a lot of people like him. And if you think that you're going to get away with your sheet says $3 or $4, oh, this is going to be sweet. I'm going to get this. I'm just going to plug him in as my wide receiver three. And then it's like everybody has $190 still in their budget. And they're like, I'm not going to let you do that. And all of a sudden he's going for $12. Later in the draft, you find someone like, you know, let's say DJ Chark that goes for 10. And then you're like, what the hell did I do? You know, you're left doing that. So you definitely don't want to nominate those guys early when people have funds. You want to catch them at the point where they're being a little stingy, where they're saying, okay, I realize I don't have a whole lot of money left. And again, that really comes back down to, where are you at in the pecking order? Can you bully everyone else? Say there's no one else with a max bid as high as me. They're probably going to be protecting their funds. That's when you're able to take advantage of stuff like that.
By the way, I do think that you can break down a salary cap draft, generally speaking, in my experience, guys, I don't know about you, into quarters. Like the first quarter, everybody's like, bang, 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 let's go. I've got all the money in the world. Yeah, yeah, dollar bills, y'all, dollar bills. Then the second quarter, everybody's like, oh, shoot, I just spent so much money. I got to rein it back a little bit. That's when actually deals are there. So you might want to go strike there. Then there's usually a break. Third quarter, everybody's kind of reined it in a lot. They're like, okay, we're back to normal now. Dollar, dollar bills. Fourth quarter, nobody has money. They're done. So second quarter, fourth quarter of a salary cap draft is when I usually like to strike for those high ROI.
So the opposite of LeBron James.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, man. Space Jam just came out. All right. Let's get to the last one here. And it's something we've kind of mentioned, but want to reiterate. The number one tip for you for salary cap drafts is every draft is going to greatly vary in terms of player value. So what you got in one is not necessarily how the other one's going to go. They are literally all unique. They're like snowflakes, okay? I cannot stress this enough, because you might even have some crossover in some of the guys that you or gals that you play these leagues with. It doesn't matter. They're all going to be unique and different. There will be similarities, but the differences is what makes them so fun and what makes them a challenge. But you can't go saying, well, this happened in one, so when I have this other one next Saturday, it's going to go like that. Tags, to me, that is death. You can't think like that.
Correct. Yeah, every single one is different. And that's why I said it. You have to account for inflation. So if you start seeing studs go for, you know, $10 over what you have players listed for, you're going to have to adjust on the fly. And again, the Draft Wizard will help you do that, but you have to feel it out. You have to understand, again, don't wait until the end of the tier, because then you're going to be left feeling stuck and you're going to overpay for the last player in that tier, which is really not what you want to do. So it's one of those things where you definitely have to pay attention. And that's why in the beginning, I'll typically sit back and kind of see how things are playing out. But again, if you have someone on your list, like a top tier player, let's say you have them at $52 on your sheet and you see them sitting out there at 44 and you're like, I mean, so he's going to go for 44. I mean, my sheets, go for that player. Like, trust your sheet in the beginning of your draft. Trust it.
Now, Dan, look, this is the list I compiled of 10. It's a pretty solid list, I think. You're the auction primer writer. You tell me, what did we miss here? What kind of bonus material you want to throw in here on top of these glorious 10 tips that we've given out?
Yeah, I think you really nailed it for the most part. A couple other things that I keep in mind. We mentioned it. It wasn't a specific tip, but you need to set your tiers by position without question. Mm-hmm. Every single salary cap draft, you need to know what tier ends and what doesn't, because Tags is right. When you have one running back left in a tier and you're like, well, this is the guy I got to get, Everybody knows that. You've got to know where it is. If you've got three, you might want to nominate one because you're like, well, everybody else is going to be thinking there are two others left. Always know where the tiers drop off. I always create a spending plan in advance where I basically have a breakdown of this is how much I'm going to planning to spend, generally speaking, on quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight end. And I have an Excel spreadsheet that I keep up that keeps track of my total budget. And again, the salary cap draft assistant will also kind of help you keep track of a lot of this. But I like to have a plan. And when I spend more than I have budgeted for something, I make the adjustment. I make sure that my final budget always equals 200, just so I have a general sense of how I want to spend it. And the final thing is, again, the simulator, the assistant will do this for you. You have to keep track of everybody else's roster. Must, absolute yes. Must. Know what everybody else has filled. Know how much money they have left. That, again, the salary cap draft assistant is invaluable because it does things where you've got to be thinking about 17 things at once. It just does it all for you. That's an invaluable piece. So you can't do a salary cap draft and not have that.
All right, let's play a little player price Powerball, if you will. I'm going to give you some players at positions, similar price range. You tell me who's the Powerball, who's the best guy at that specific ROI. Let's start with the quarterbacks. Number five on the board, Dak Prescott, $19. Then at $17, you've got Herbert, Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers. So in that group, Dan Harris, would you pay the $2 premium for Dak, or would you go with one of these other guys, Wilson, Rodgers, or Herbert, for $17?
I personally would go for Dak. $2 in the grand scheme of things isn't a huge deal. And for me, my tier, Dak ends the top tier of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. For me, followed them by Rodgers, Herbert. So I'm going to pay a slight premium there for Dak when it's only $2. I'm willing to do that.
I'll pay a 3 or 4 premium for Dak personally if we're going to start escalating that. I agree with you. Dak is the drop-off there. Tags, what about you? Are you somebody looking to save a little bit in that single quarterback format? Maybe go with the one of the $17 guys?
I probably wouldn't have any of these quarterbacks, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not spending 19 or 17 on these quarterbacks, but if you're talking about $2, I'll pay up for Dak for sure. I mean, Russell Wilson's close, and I wouldn't be mad at either of those guys, but I will go with Dak for the extra $2. Because again, $2, that just means that changes you from Michael Pittman to Elijah Moore, which is probably an upgrade.
I'm guessing these are maybe the Tags quarterbacks here. We got Tannehill at $9, Joe Burrow at $5. Which way would you go there, Tags?
I'll go Tannehill.
$4 premium.
I'll go Tannehill. $9 is solid. It just depends on the dollar amount, because like you could say Tannehill $5 or Burrow $1, and I'm still going to say $5 for Tannehill just because it just comes down to the money. If it was Tannehill, you know, up in hot double digits where you're like, you know, like we just talked about, I don't spend up for quarterbacks typically in auction leagues. So I'll go Tannehill there just because I have conviction on him being, you know, a top 8 quarterback.
All right, let's talk about some running backs in the $40 range because there's a fair amount of them here. Joe Mixon for $40, Nick Chubb for $40, Eckler, Aaron Jones for $42. Tags, your thoughts on this cluster of RBs in the 40s, or I'm guessing maybe you'd rather have Najee Harris for $38.
Yeah, this is where I'd probably go, because the tier for me goes down. It definitely goes down to Mixon territory. Like, if you go from Chubb to Mixon for me, it's not a huge drop-off. I would pay $2 extra to get Chubb, I suppose, because, again, there's less question marks about, you know, can he take that next step forward? Does Zach Taylor's offense actually, you know, prove to be efficient? There's a lot of question marks there where I'll pay the $2 extra to get up to Nick Chubb. But, again, that's the beauty of an auction. You understand that Nick Chubb or that Najee Harris is a guy that's probably going to go, you know, $5-6 cheaper than those guys. And that's just a value. And again, don't wait until the end of the tier because then you could be fighting against someone else for it. But getting Najee Harris is something I would do in that situation.
All right. From one Harris to another, Dan Harris, give me some $20 running backs here. Your choice. Mike Davis at 23, Miles Gaskin at 25, Josh Jacobs at 27, J.K. Dobbins at 27. Which way would you want to go here with your cash?
I'm probably going Gaskin. I've talked about it. I'm a huge Gaskin fan this year. I get that Savon Ahmed is there and could take work, but I expect the Dolphins offense to take a major step up this year. Gaskin was great last year, even though he was injured and he missed time with COVID. It's certainly not going to be Josh Jacobs, especially at a higher price point. There is no chance whatsoever. I also don't mind Mike Davis if, assuming that they don't sign a veteran running back, which at this point there's no reason to expect. I think Davis is being undervalued. So that's probably where I would go rather than, I'm not going with Jacobs. The extra price on Dobbins, just given the fact that he's going to split time with Gus Edwards, I'm probably going with either Gaskin or I could live with Mike Davis personally.
Hey, fun fact, right. Real quick. Dan, fun fact on Gaskin. This can support your cause, okay? I've been working on boom bust and everything in between. Gaskin performed as an RB2 or better in 80% of his games last year. The only running backs who were better, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, and Aaron Jones. That's it. That's the end of the list.
One of the best values in drafts this year.
Andrew Erickson from PFF last year was a weekly guest on my show, and he was coming on giving all these amazing stats about Gaskin. And that's how I really started really get in there and start to peel into him. You guys are absolutely right. Let's get to another grouping here. Dan, real quick, give me your thoughts on this next grouping of wide receivers, all in the similar price range. In fact, all of them are $22. Robert Woods, Terry McLaurin, Allen Robinson, all at $22. Who would you have out of that trio?
Oh, man. Well, I do love Robert Woods, but he's got to go back in the back of the line for me a little bit in this one. I have Robinson and Terry McLaurin back to back. So I would go Robinson. I'm fine with paying for any of them in that price point, though. It's fine, but I would go Robinson, then McLaurin. And I assume we're half PPR, by the way. Robinson, Terry McLaurin, and then Robert Woods.
All right. And in salary cap format, tags, Julio Jones for 17, Deontay Johnson for 14, or T. Higgins for 14.
Ooh. Oh, I like Deontay Johnson, but $3. But $3, again, this is not that big of a gap where, again, at the end of the draft, I don't care. I don't want Michael Pittman. Have him. So I'm going to take Julio Jones for $3.
Yep.
This absurd hatred for Michael Pittman. By the way,
well, it's because Yates loves him so much that we have to bounce. Yates,
I didn't know, Dan, did you know that boom bust and everything in between is actually where Yates is a bouncer at that nightclub?
I established to this podcast.
You do. Boss, Dan Harris, listens to us. So, of course, he has to. So really,
it's my job. All right,
last one here real quick. Gentlemen, tight ends. OK, how do you want to spend your money? And give me a real quick answer here. Are you somebody that thinks Travis Kelce's worth the 40? Do you think that Waller and Kittle worth the 30, or are you slumming it in the $1 to $5 range? Dan, your thoughts.
I'm probably slumming it. I get it. If you want to pay up for it, I'm not going to argue with you, but I need the running backs. Like, I need to feel okay about my running backs in the salary cap draft. I'm probably going to have to overpay for it. I'm willing to do that. Once you get past the top three, everybody else is whatever. Whoever coined it, Jamie Eisenberg, you know, great or late great or whatever late. It is. Yeah. That's where I go. I will go late in a salary cap draft nearly every single time.
I'm in agreement. Tags, your thoughts?
Yeah. Dan and I talked about this on stages yesterday. We did a show and we were talking about that. And, you know, it's just so difficult. It's the psychological portion. We're looking at your roster and not seeing a stud running back there because you paid up for Travis Kelce or whatever the case is. It's really difficult to do that. But, I mean, again, you're not going to lose your fantasy league because you have Travis Kelce, but it's more about, you know, what other players are you sacrificing by spending up for him? Because generally you'll get tight ends like Jonnu Smith or even Noah Fant, Tyler Higbee. You're going to get those guys for like $5-6 in salary cap drafts. So if you're able to be okay with two of those guys on your bench and just saying, hey, I'll play whichever one breaks out or whichever one has the better matchup, stream tight ends, do whatever you have to do. It allows you to have those running backs and wide receivers you really want to see in your lineup. I'm not going to fault anybody for doing it. The only one I would pay up for, I think, is Kelce, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just because Kelce he's head and shoulders above everybody. I mean,
well, what you got to do then is you got to hit on a wide receiver at that $5-7 value like you would have hit on a tight end. And ironically, there's a lot more guys in that range at wide receiver that might have that kind of upside to actually be pretty good. So if you're going to go all the way for Kelce, I think when you look at it from that perspective, you go, okay, you know, there's some guys, the Jalen Waddles of the world, things like that. Maybe one of these guys does break out and just kind of flip the price.
You can make it work for
sure. You're going to play it. Yeah.
I agree, I do think that the difference is that those tight ends that you're going to get your tight end for $1 as opposed to the wide receivers that you can probably spend $4 or $5 on. So you can probably spend it once you get past the top five or six. Once probably get past Hockenson, maybe Goddard, you're looking at $1 pretty much. So,
all right, since we're having so much fun today, I want to squeeze this in too, because this is fun. We like to do history lessons here on the show. We'll do this real quick and then we'll get out of here. On this day, gentlemen, Alex Trebek was born. Everybody loved Alex Trebek, unfortunately. Unfortunately, Alex Trebek left us last year. But I'm going to ask you this question. Does being good at trivia make you smart, Dan?
I'm really good at trivia and I'm really dumb. So the answer is probably not. No. Do you guys know that I once passed the Jeopardy test?
No,
I passed the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire test, which I'm not really smart at all.
Yeah, I have filled my brain, as my mother jokes useless about all the time, with useless all these knowledge things that mean absolutely nothing to anybody and come in handy only when you're watching Jeopardy. So I'm not a particularly smart man, so you can be great at trivia and be dumb.
Tags, is there any room in your mind for anything else?
I want a game
facts
of Are You Smarter Than a Third Grader? So I'm going to take that to the house. That's about all I can
thought
find.
It was a fifth grader. I thought it was a fifth grader.
I won the third grader version. I won the third grader version.
Wow. I don't know if you should be saying that publicly. 1912. The Summer Olympics in Stockholm, Sweden came to an end. What will be your must-see Olympic event? Because that starts this weekend. Tags, Summer Olympics, anything that you are going to must-see there?
No, football's on, man.
Football's on. Football's really not on.
Well, it is. Training. I would rather watch training camp, to be fair.
Okay, there you go. Harris, for you, anything?
Oh, man. Well, every track and field event is amazing, right? Like,
you're a big discus guy? I like the triple jump. I don't even know who decided that's a good idea. But I like watching the triple jump. That seems like the hardest thing to do.
It doesn't look normal, the triple jump. I'm very, very confused by the entire thing. But gymnastics as well. I'm a big, Simone Biles, love that and everything like that.
So all right.
I'm excited.
In 2008, on this day, Estelle Getty, best known for her role as the old little Sophia grandma on the Golden Girls, unfortunately passed away. But I was thinking about us, they say, what character are you from certain things? And I started to think, well, in Golden Girls, clearly Dan would be B. Arthur. He's definitely Dorothy.
Without question.
Without a question. I'm definitely Sophia, the little Italian grandma. Tags is clearly Betty White, I would think, because he's Rose, because he just goes on and on with stories for days and days. And sometimes you're like, what is he even talking about? Which I guess by default makes Yates Blanche? Like, I don't even know how that works.
I guess. I don't know. It's not a perfect fit. Yeah. Like, I'm clearly Dorothy Spornak, without question.
Without a
quick
doubt.
My whole life is built around just making fun of people and the quick-witted Barb and everything like that. You're Sophia, without question, obviously. Joe. The other two don't really fit.
No, Yates is the great-great-grandchild.
Okay, we'll do that. I love it. He's, by the way, one of the most underrated shows. I'm just gonna say, my wife 100% has that on when she goes to bed every night,
dirty,
on the Hallmark Channel.
So dirty, like, you're like, how
it
did
is
get away
it would
with
never
this
fly right now. And she has a shirt that she's probably wearing right now that says "Stay Golden" with a picture of all four ladies.
Nice.
So right, big thing in the Harris household.
As Tags mentioned before, on stages, you say, what the heck is he talking about? He's talking about our chat at Discord. So go join fantasypros.com/chat so you can be in these stages and hang out with me, Tags, Dan, Yates, and get all these questions and these conversations. They're fantastic. We have a great time there, but you can only do it if you join, and the premium subscribers get more access to us in those stages. So again, fantasypros.com/chat. Don't forget about our giveaway at fantasypros.com/contest. CMC jersey, thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. And while you're at it, go check out Pristine Auction as well. PristineAuction.com. That's PRISTINE auction.com. You get $5 on us just for signing up. We already talked about, in all of our household, the most popular thing is not us. It is the My Sheets Rock. Everybody wants them. Everyone's fighting over them. So go to MySheetsRock.com/pros to get yours today. And up your fantasy game. Go to DynastyOwner.com and start playing fantasy football with real fantasy salary caps. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Dan Harris and Mike Tagliere, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.